This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome in. This is season 5. This is episode number 41 of the Outlap F1 podcast. We are part of the Ship It Studios podcast network, and you've got Andy, and I'm along with Cody tonight, and we have finally made it. It is the last race of the season. It's the 2023 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix race preview. It is Thanksgiving Eve in the United States, so a happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners out there. If they happen to get a chance to listen to it, maybe in the car as they're going to see their families. And we wish everybody a happy and healthy and wonderful and successful Thanksgiving with all of the cooking and all of the kitchen things that are going on. I'm going to have an adventure tomorrow morning as I've made more of my dish than I've ever have before. And now I then have to transport it from here to my sister's house on the other side of town. So if there's a bump, I'm a little nervous. But anyway, Cody, it is good to see you again. A long 48 hours since we last saw each other when we were talking about Las Vegas. But how goes it, sir?
It goes fantastic. My body is ready for turkey. Thanksgiving is probably like my favorite holiday out of the year because there's just so much delicious food, and I am all about delicious food. So very much looking forward to that. And I got some bittersweet feelings about it being the end of the F1 season. On one hand, cool to see one of the most dominant seasons ever. On the downside, though, got to wait for March for more.
Yeah, but, you know, the teams will not stop. They will be busy. They will be doing stuff, developing, hopefully, what is going to be a banger 2024 season where everybody has major fights at the front so that what we saw last week in Las Vegas does not become just a one-off, but hopefully becomes the norm, because I am all in for all of that if that's the case. But if you have found our show, as David Croft would say, welcome along. We are glad you are here. If you like what you are hearing or like what you are seeing, you can find us Twitter, X, whatever they call that thing nowadays, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and of course YouTube, at Outlap F1 Podcast is the handle. Like I said before, if you like what you're seeing and you like what you're hearing, do us a solid, click the like and subscribe button on YouTube. If you're on your favorite podcasting app, whichever one we're on a ton of them, I know that, click the 5-star button. All that does, it doesn't help us do anything really a whole lot other than come up a little bit better in search results if you're trying to find us. So we would appreciate it if you would like to do that. You can email the show, as always, chatnow@outlapf1.com takes you there. The website, www.outlapf1.com, if you want to read up on who we all are and what we do, takes you there. As a reminder, and thank you to our monetary supporters who have stuck with us this entire season. This is so awesome. Thank you so much to Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quentin Warden, who we heard from last week on Twitter, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. Kevin Kelly, who's been sending me memes through Instagram all week. The Carlos Sainz one, Kevin, actually made me jump. I gotta tell you, man. So thank you for that one. That one caught me a little off guard today as I was working, but appreciate it. Made me smile. If you'd like to become a member of what we call the hashtag Outlap F1 Nation, see our link tree in our show notes. It's our anchor page, $1, $5, all goes into making the show better, all goes into investing in new equipment, upgrading the equipment we currently have. I finally got the swing arm out. I'm in my second show. I feel a lot more comfortable tonight because I've actually done this now once before, and hopefully this will become kind of a permanent thing where I can sit and do and record where I want to, but this is actually pretty cool. So thank you, as always, to everybody who continues to support the show. The good folks at Manscaped, since tomorrow is Thanksgiving, that means Christmas is coming. Black Friday is upon us. Check them out. See, use our code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, get 20% off and free shipping from those fine folks. And our final sponsor, the F1Guy.com, our buddy Vincenzo Landino, who's got a shirt line, F1 quality merch, not necessarily the F1 quality price. It's good, homemade, real stuff. Go check that out, the F1Guy.com. if you are so inclined. All right. So now we have gotten the particulars out of the way. As is tradition, we start our final preview with the news. And there is some good news to report on the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Americans apparently really liked this race, and the start time did not seem to matter. ESPN is reporting that they saw 1.3 million viewers for this race. It's the third largest audience of the season. It got a massive 7.4 rating. That's football territory right there. In Las Vegas proper, as well as a 1.5 rating in Los Angeles. So big cities look like it was paying off. Apparently, it's also big in Tulsa as well. That was one of the ones that came up. I was kind of really surprised. It's the most watched race in the USA since June. Probably the Canadian Grand Prix is what we were thinking about there. So, Cody, perhaps all of this hype train actually paid off. What you think? Or does it just come down to, hey, it was a good race, and if you do that, people will show up regardless?
I think people were going to show up. You know, people were showing up before the race even happened. So I think this being, having been a good race is going to just improve the ratings even more for next year. But I do think a lot of it had to do with all the show surrounding it and the fact that it was in Las Vegas and it looked beautiful being on the strip at night. It was very cool. Even anyone who thought that the race was just going to be all about the show and not about the race had to appreciate the fact that it looked really cool going around the strip at night. The ratings are really promising. I think it's going to be a staple, for Formula One in the next few years going forward. So I'm really excited for it. Sorry, Miami. I think you still are the worst of the U.S. races. I think Las Vegas has pipped you a little bit. I thought it was a lot of fun. Even with, all the show, some of it was fun. It was a little over the top. That's what Vegas does. We discussed that before. And I'm very happy that a lot of U.S. viewers turned this one on, despite the fact that for most of us, it was in like the middle of the night.
Yeah, we were apparently all burning the literal midnight oil, as it were. I think a lot of people were texting each other saying, hey, you got to get on this, got to watch this race. But I don't know when the peak time was. I couldn't tell you if it was lap one or not, but this was just a report that came out. Good on you, Las Vegas. And speaking of that Las Vegas, one of the bigger critiques was that start time. And Formula One and Las Vegas are going to discuss a possibility of moving the 2024 race to an earlier time of the day. So it might not start like 1 a.m. Eastern anymore. That would be an improvement across the board. The race does kind of have to stay on where it is on the 2024 calendar because that calendar has been released. So we're not going to get any dramatic movement. I did see, I don't think it was very credible report that said that maybe, and this may be something that's down the line, it may not happen this year, but that maybe Austin and Vegas swap their spots because, it would kind of lead into the Austin weather maybe being a bit better, Vegas weather maybe also being a bit warmer. So one gets cooler while the other one gets warmer. Maybe that's a win-win for both. We'll have to see if that kind of ever shakes out. I've not seen anything other than that one odd kind of report, so... But Cody, what would you think about that if that was something that would happen?
I would be all for that because, for one thing, when we were in Austin this year, it was really hot. I always think going down there, it's October, it's fall, it's not going to be that bad. And then we get there and it's like 95 degrees and it's sweltering. One would hope that, November would be a little cooler. And on top of that, it would just be really cool to be, the season was already tied up by the time it got to the USGP in Austin anyway. But in a more competitive season, it would be really cool to be at the second to last race of the year where you could have the championship decider. You've been at, I think, Austin for championship deciders before in less competitive seasons.
Lewis in 2015, Lewis again, Lewis did it twice that I know of. One was 2015, one was 2018. And then I think those were the only two. That may be the only two that I've seen for sure. But I will go back and check.
It would be cool to see that happen though in like a more of a dead heat type of situation. Yeah,
exactly.
And yeah, I would be all for Vegas being a little warmer, you know, a little easier, or, you know, more grip in the tires, Austin being a little cooler, a little easier on my body. And yeah, I think that would just work out all around. Also for the earlier time, I understand, you know, Las Vegas has to have those roads open, you know, for people up to a certain point. And I also understand that they want it to be dark out so that you can see the strip and all of its, you know, lit up glory. But just making it a little earlier, I think would be better for anyone watching in the States, because, you know, we would be starting the race in our area at midnight. It wouldn't be starting at 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You know, that's a lot of your audience that you might be missing out on because it's the middle of night. So I would be all for that too, even just moving it up maybe like a couple hours.
I've seen many a boxing match that has started in Las Vegas at 10 p.m. and that's fine. You know, 10 to midnight on a Saturday night, if that's what we're going to do, I am down for that. And I think a lot of the world audience would be down for that. You know, I know the U.S. audience, that means, you know, it started 11 on the East Coast, which is a lot more doable, I think, if you're up on a Saturday night than 1 a.m. But so, yeah, a lot of things to be discussed, like we talked about last week. You know, there's going to be a lot of learning that's been done, a lot of things that they're going to try to tweak. I have seen they've already started to take deposits on the next year. I have not seen what the price points are, and I haven't clicked on that yet, but I did get an email about it. And I was like, huh, interesting. Okay, well, I'll have to think about it. Anyway, that's kind of the two stories that have come out actually since we finished recording about Las Vegas. All right, flipping over to now getting really into the Abu Dhabi weekend, we have some major league battles that we need to watch out for. So in the Constructors, let's just kind of set the stage. P2 in the Constructors is Ferrari versus Mercedes. P4 in the Constructors is not done and dusted by any means yet. That is Aston Martin and McLaren. And P7 to P10, big fight between Williams, AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, and Haas. I know where my attention is going to be, but Cody, where is your attention going to be throughout most of the on track for Abu Dhabi?
For me, between the constructors, it's going to be between Ferrari and Mercedes, because Mercedes has been such a force in Formula One pretty much since even before I really started getting into the sport. I really started paying attention after I went to my first race with you in 2016, after Mercedes had already been a force for several years and continued to be for many years after that. And I think for them to potentially slip into third place in the constructors really says a lot about where they stand in this new era of, aerodynamic regulations, the struggles that they've had with the car, despite having some, you know, two of the best drivers on the grid. So I kind of, you know, we'll get to this a little later, who I'm really rooting for in this, but I think it's going to make a really big impact on, both Ferrari and Mercedes, depending on where they finish on this, because Ferrari, on the other hand, had a big slump in the past bunch of years and only started picking it back up last year. And a lot of people considered this season to be a slump compared to their form last year, where they won the first couple races of the season and were looking very promising. I think this shows that Ferrari is, really starting to make a push with their car to be able to fight at the top again. Hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that all of these teams will really be able to put the fight to Red Bull in the next couple of years, because otherwise it's going to be really boring.
I still have my dream scenario of five potential teams being able to win a race next year. Oh, wouldn't that be good? But we'll have to see if that happens. But I mean, obviously my attention is going to be on the Aston Martins, marking where they are pretty much all weekend, versus McLaren, because McLaren have slipped into now a fight for that P4. I do feel pretty good being up 11 points in that battle. I think this track will suit McLaren much better. It's much more traditional. It's much more in their temperature range. I actually looked at where the temperatures are going to go from the race time when it starts to the race time when it finishes, and it's right kind of in that McLaren sweet spot. So I'm pretty happy about that. So, you know, but again, you, random stuff can happen. Whenever you leave anything to the last race, as has been seen many times, weird stuff can always happen out in the desert there. So I'm just hoping for, like I said, clean sessions. Get in, get out. Let's get these points. Let's get this job done. And don't do anything to yourselves that screws it up. So yeah, so that's kind of where my focus will be. Next kind of story here. There will be, if you're into young drivers and you're into who may be the next ones, this is the session for you. Free practice one, we'll see basically almost half the grid be replaced with the young drivers because they've all left their young driver tests until this weekend, it seems. So here's just kind of a rundown of what I know is happening. So both Red Bull drivers will not be participating in FP1. Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez out. Jake Dennis and Isaac Hadjar in. McLaren, I think Lando Norris is not going to be participating in FP1, and he will be replaced by Pato O'Ward, IndyCar driver, going in there. The Williams, I believe this is Logan Sargeant out. Zach O'Sullivan in. Mercedes, I don't know who's necessarily out here, but I know Fred Vesti will be doing a drive for them. Ferrari gets to see Robert Schwartzman in the car. Aston Martin will put Felipe Drugovich in one of their cars. Alpine sees Jack Doohan in the car. Alfa Romeo will get to see Teo Porcher, the current F2 leader, in their car. And Haas will see Ollie Bearman get a drive as well for free practice one. I tossed this idea out in our prop bet. We decided not to do it in favor of something a little more tangible. But Cody, if you thought anybody was going to wreck, if anybody, who would your money be on here?
Ooh, like, so free practice one with the consideration of all of these young drivers getting their first, you know, or one of their first tastes. Ooh, man. Man, a lot of these guys are really good, though. So it's kind of hard to say.
And then if you want to say nobody, that's fine. I mean, we can say nobody.
I got to say, you know, I think it would be... I've got a feeling maybe Felipe Drugovic, and okay. It's not to say that he's not talented. I think he's very good. I just think that Felipe Drugovic is one of the drivers on this list that has the potential to make it into Formula One at some point, depending on how things go with that Aston Martin team, depending on if Fernando Alonso decides to, you know, throw in the hat or, you know, what's the right figure switch? Decides to retire for this
or call it a career. You know,
if Lance Stroll decides to move on to other things, I think that Drugovic is going to be really trying to push to show that he can do this, and he might push a little too hard in doing so, and maybe take a chunk out of that car. I guess you can make the same argument for Teo Porcher. Teo Porcher is very promising. Very successful, you know, like you said, leading the F2 championship at the moment. He's another driver that has a very good chance, in my opinion, of making it onto the F1 grid at some point. And being that he is, you know, a test driver for Alfa Romeo, you know, Zhou Guanyu, good driver, hasn't been anything extraordinary, in my opinion, though. Valtteri Bottas, also very good, but maybe in the twilight of his career, we don't know. You know, Teo Pacher might be pushing just that extra little bit too to prove that he's got what it takes, and that might result in a mistake.
I tend to think that there's probably going to be nobody wrecking because I'm pretty sure a lot of these drivers are going to be running. They're not going to, I don't even know if they will give these drivers sets of soft tires to even play with. I think a lot of these guys are going to kind of be doing aero work. It's probably going to be more boring than you actually probably expect. And they're probably doing a lot of grunt work in terms of testing, maybe directions for next year. You're probably going to see a lot of flow viz. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they use them for FP1. That is something that I am kind of fascinatingly interested in, is to go, okay, well, what'd you do with them? It's one thing to put them in the car. What'd you let them do? So I kind of remember when they for McLaren, Alex Palou did the test last year at COTA, and they didn't even let him do a set of soft tires. They just kept him on the single solitary set. So we'll have to see kind of what these teams do, how they use these drivers. But it should be a fascinating FP1 watch if it's not really early in the morning for me. But we'll see if we manage to pull it off. At least I'll be stuffed with turkey and maybe awake at that point and happy to just watch some young drivers do their thing. But so I guess that's kind of it for the news. I've heard a couple two other things that I've heard in terms of rumors. None of this is confirmed yet, but strong possibility of, one, Logan Sargeant getting a potential 1-year extension at Williams. So we'll have to see if there's some sort of an announcement made over the course of the weekend. And both Ferrari drivers potentially working on extensions to their contracts, because it looks like they're happy with the driver lineup and what they've got so far. So, again, things that we will be keeping an eye out for and we'll be following and forwarding on to you if we happen to see it over the course of this weekend. But in any event, we will now drop our green flag and get into the Yas Marina Circuit Track Facts. They are brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. So, Cody, tell us about the Yas Marina Circuit.
Okay, this weekend we are racing around the Yas Marina Circuit, located on Yas Island in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. Number of laps around the circuit is 58, and the track length is 5.281 kilometers, or 3.281 miles. Tire selection from Pirelli for the race is the C3, C4, and C5 compound. And the track characteristics brought to you by Pirelli are a 4 out of 5 for traction, 4 out of 5 for braking, a 3 out of 5 for lateral load, 3 out of 5 for tire stress, 4 out of 5 for track evolution, 2 out of 5 for asphalt grip, 3 out of 5 for asphalt abrasion, and 3 out of 5 for downforce. The qualifying lap record around the current configuration of the circuit goes to Max Verstappen with a 1 minute 22.109 seconds, and that was set in 2021. While the overall lap record under the current configuration also goes to Max Verstappen, set in 2021, with a 1 minute 26.103 seconds. However, the most wins around this track goes to Lewis Hamilton with a whopping 5 wins here. Next best would be a tie between Sebastian Vettel and Max Verstappen with 3 wins apiece. As far as constructors go, most wins at this track is a tie between Mercedes and Red Bull, both big heavy hitters, with 6 wins apiece. Next best is a solitary win for Lotus Renault, and that win was taken famously by Kimi Raikkonen, which we all enjoyed very thoroughly.
That was the "leave me alone, I know what to do." And they did, and he did. All right, so the Yas Marina Circuit, the Hermann Tilke design track, is dominated by its 1.2 kilometers straight between turns 5 and 6, with its slow speed corners making its beginning and end a honeypot for overtaking moves. Other highlights include the tricky run through turns 10 and 11 and 12, which forces the drivers to brake hard with bags of lateral load still in the car. Track modifications that happened in the 2021 race shortened the lap slightly to 5.28 kilometers have only added to a bit of the level of excitement through that section. The current weather forecast. This looks right down the middle, folks. Partly cloudy skies for qualifying, of high of 82 degrees, winds out of the northwest. Little hot, little bit maybe gusty. The wind may be the story. 10 to 20 miles per hour, but those temps will be dropping to 73 degrees after nightfall. Only a scant 3% chance of rain. And for the race on Sunday, sunny skies, high of 83, winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10, temps dropping to near 71 degrees after nightfall, only a 4% chance of rain. So, yeah, I mean, we pretty much kind of got our standard Abu Dhabi set up here. We kind of know we've got that big kind of spoony section now going especially into turn 9, so that was kind of the big stuff. No huge modifications this year. Two DRS zones. Kind of expect your traditional Abu Dhabi overtaking places to happen. Be what I would expect. But all right. So we will actually now actually take our official break. We will re-rack here in just a little bit, and then we'll come back. It's the last one. It's our last shot. We have to figure out who's going to take this puppy. It's a choose your champion predictions game. I think it's pretty damn close between the two of us. So come on back and we'll get into all of it.
You are listening to the Outlap F1 podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop.
Welcome back in. This is season 5, episode number 41 of the Outlap F1 podcast. And we have made it to our last one. It's the last time we're going to hear. Oh, I love this sound. So classic. SNES stuff. Yeah, it is. So nostalgic. But it is the Choose Your Champion predictions game. Maybe next year we'll do the remix of the Mortal Kombat sound, you know, with the kind of the rap song that they made for it. But for this year, we're going with the classic old video game sound to kind of get you all pumped for it. But all right. So for the last time, as we always are apt to do, we start with the pole sitter. Last year was Max Verstappen in the Red Bull. Cody, what have you got for your pole sitter for the last race of the season?
You know, I've gone with Max Verstappen for the past bunch of races, and I've gotten screwed on a lot of them. So I actually think this time I need to switch it up. The Ferraris have been looking really strong lately, at least on a one-lap pace. So I'm going to go with Charles Leclerc taking the last pole of the season.
Very good. I tend to agree with you about the Ferrari thing. And we talked about it in our last review, how they have quietly sort of kind of gotten their act together, especially over one lap. And I don't think you can deny that their form in qualifying these last few races has been anything other than brilliant. So while I like your Charles Leclerc pick, I just figure I have to go kind of in the opposite direction. But I do like Ferrari here, so I'm going to go Carlos Sainz from manhole cover to kill his car to pole position the next race. I think that would be a redemption arc that I am all here for. So I'm going to go Carlos Sainz to take the pole in the last race of the season. All right, and so what will that qualifying lap time be? Last year's pole time was a 1:23.824. So, Cody, what you got?
I am going with the idea that I've gone all season with these cars being more developed, just being a hair faster than lap times on the previous season. And it doesn't look like we're going to get any crazy weather predictions, so... I'm going to stick with that idea, and I'm going to go just slightly faster than last year with a 1:23.667.
All right, very good. I tend to think, because the formula is basically kind of sort of unchanged, that the lap times are going to kind of come close, because I think everybody's on their last set of engines, last set of spare parts, all that other stuff. I do think they'll try to hang a time out there, but I don't know that they're necessarily going to go a whole lot faster. So I've got it pretty close to last year. I got 1:23.877. All right. So flipping the script over now to Sunday, what do you have, Cody, for your final race podium of the season? What you got?
I think it's going to come to the surprise of no one that I have Max Verstappen winning the race again. But I also think that McLaren's going to bounce back from Las Vegas with this race. I think it's going to be more suited to them. So I've got Lando Norris coming in P2, and Lewis Hamilton has had a lot of success around this track over the years. I've got him slotting into P3.
All right. I like your podium, sir. I agree with a lot of it. I only have one small change, but I do have Max Verstappen taking the win. I wish I could say something different, but he just does things. Like, it, especially this season, like, things have just lined up. Like, he gets a penalty and it doesn't matter. And he qualifies sixth and it doesn't matter. And, you know, whatever happens to him early parts of the weekend, it doesn't seem to matter when it comes race day, because he's just that damn good in that car right now. And nobody's going to take it from him. At least I don't think so. So I've got Max taking the win. I do have Lando Norris coming in second. That hopefully will then be enough to secure McLaren's P4 and take care of all of the drama there. I almost wanted to put Lando on the pole, but I didn't want to totally homer this one. But I do think he may come home in second place here. Would have him qualified third in the second in the race. But anyway, we'll see how this goes. But Sergio Perez, I think, has also had a good bounce back run of form ever since the wreck in Mexico. He's been on it. He secured his P2. I think he will race with more confidence because of that. So I got Sergio Perez on the podium as well. So Verstappen, Norris, Perez for the podium. All right, moving into our fastest lap and driver. Last year's fastest lap and driver was set by Lando Norris, actually. I completely forgot about this. A 128.391. Cody, what you got and who you got doing it?
I do have Max Verstappen taking the fastest lap. He does seem to like really going for that fastest lap whenever he can, and I don't think we've had a fastest lap out of him for a little while. So I think he would probably want to wrap up this dominant season in fashion. So I've got Max Verstappen taking fastest lap with a 1:28.291.
All right, very good. I do tend to think the McLarens, once they come out of the pits, tend to be able to set a pretty darn good lap when those tires are still pretty fresh. Their problem is what happens at the end of the stint, not what happens at the beginning. So I do think, because it may matter to them, that I think Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri may just have to go for that fastest lap. But I've got Lando Norris doing it. I've got a 1:28.587 for my lap time. All right. So now we will get into our final bonus picks of the season. And we've gone with P5, P8, and P10. There's a good smattering around the points here. So Cody, what's your thought on our bonus picks?
I'm not sure that the Ferraris are going to be as strong during the race as I'm thinking that they're going to be during qualifying. So I have Carlos Sainz sliding into P5. I honestly hope that he finishes higher up. I kind of like Sainz. But my gut's telling me P5. Lance Stroll had a pretty good weekend in Las Vegas. I think that's going to add some confidence. And so I've got Lance Stroll sliding into P8. You know, nothing too spectacular, but still getting some decent points, which could play into that constructors battle between McLaren and Aston Martin. And lastly, this is more just hoping than anything else. I really, really want to see some more points out of Alex Albon here at the end of the season. So I have him picking up that solitary point in P10.
All right, very good. Surprising we have a lot of alignment here. But I've got Oscar Piastri in P5. I think that that's, you know, he probably doesn't have to show as well as Lando does here, but I know a P2 and P5 would leave me just fine. That will suit my rooting interest perfectly. I do have Lance Stroll also in P8 because I think more confidence. I think he will score points. I think Aston Martin's form, since they took the upgrades off, has gotten a lot better. He's not going to be as good as Alonso, though, so I've got him in P8. And I actually agree with you in P10. I'm surprised we actually aligned on this, but I just saw the 1.2 kilometer straight and said, how do you not have a Williams somewhere in the points with that asset there? So even though there's a lot of other interesting corners around this track, I do think Williams could show pretty good here. So I've got Alex Albon scoring the odd point for Williams, and that'll be a big point for them because P7 to P10 is very, very tight. All right, so our final prop bet. Since we're following all of these constructor battles, we might as well bet on who we think is going to take them. So who takes P2 between Ferrari and Mercedes, and who takes P4 between McLaren and Aston Martin?
I have, for the P2 battle, and perhaps this is hedging my bet a little bit, considering I predicted Hamilton to be on the podium. However, I do think Ferrari has what it takes to get P2 in the championship. They've looked very strong lately. They've had a lot of bad luck, which I think isn't really being taken into account. You know, we had Leclerc get disqualified. We had, you know, an on start from Sainz. We had Sainz with that really awful penalty in Las Vegas. A lot of that has contributed, I think, to them not already being in P2. So I do think that they have what it takes to take P2. And then McLaren has, I think, just enough of an edge at this point in terms of points over Aston Martin that even with Aston Martin's return to form lately, with regressing with their upgrades, I do think McLaren's going to be able to hold on to this one. So I've got Ferrari P2, McLaren P4.
All right, very good. I, just because of the way that Mercedes tend to go really well at this track, I don't know what it is, but whatever they tend to do, even if their car's not great, they tend to go pretty good here. So I do think Mercedes will still emerge triumphant in the P2 battle, mainly because I also think while Ferrari is great at the one-lap pace, their race pace, their tire life, that's what they have to work on. You don't usually see a whole lot of interruptions at this track, so banking on a safety car to save you is kind of a tough go. So I do think Mercedes will do okay enough to maintain the P2 that they have. And I think McLaren will be okay as well. Obviously, I predicted P2 and P5, so that would work out just fine to maintain P4. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I do think, you know, if I was actually doing a 1 through 10 grid, I'd have Fernando in like fourth, because I think that's probably where he might be. And that's enough to put, you know, some pressure on and make sure that both McLarens come home. And for the love of God, team, just get out of Q1. And if you got to use two sets of tires to do it, just freaking do it. It's fine. Anyway, but I've got McLaren, despite all of my nervousness, they'll manage to do the P4 bit.
How do you feel at this point in the season, like looking back to the start of the season, do you think you would have been predicting McLaren for P4 in the championship?
God, no. The day after testing, I remember exactly where I put him in the constructors. I had him P6 because I knew they were going to be in a hole. I didn't know how big the hole was going to be. I didn't expect him to rally this much out of it. I never would have thought that. I figured if they came up and scored the odd podium, that would be an amazing achievement. If those upgrades did everything that they were promised to do, maybe they score one or two podiums and then they show up to the British Grand Prix and they're the second fastest team. That was completely blew me away. The first time Lando qualified on the front row, I remember literally screaming, "He's on the freaking front row!" Because it was such a unexpected surprise to me. You know, a lot of times upgrades, you know, they always get mega promise and little result. Well, these ones proved me wrong. So, and it just shows that it is possible with this formula. And I hope that other teams figure this stuff out. I hope McLaren continue to figure their stuff out. I've watched a couple of videos that said that looks like the next step for them is not necessarily going to be aero, but it's going to be kind of in how they work their suspension, which will affect their tire life, which is kind of the big thing. And then the other thing they got to figure out is they still got to figure out kind of a low drag package, because Las Vegas didn't suit them and Monza didn't suit them. And you've got tracks like Baku on the calendar. So there's a whole lot of stuff that they still have to do. But if you've gotten at least over the hump of you're not awful anymore, you can now focus on those other things. So that's what gives me hope for the future. And, you know, Andrea Stella just has the mind of an engineer, and I love it. And he just goes about doing his thing and analyzing the problem and learning from it. So good on them. All right. So when and where to watch your F1 for the last time live this year? Wow. Crazy to think that. So free practice one. If you want to stay up late, God bless you if you want to do that. But I think you're probably better off to get up early after sleeping off your turkey a little bit. But if you're too hungover to miss it, I more than would understand. Kicks off 4:30 a.m. Eastern. That'll be on ESPN2. Or you can always watch it on demand or watch it on F1 TV on demand. That's also a perfectly legit option, by the way. FP2 kicks off 8 a.m. Eastern. That's also ESPN2. FP3 kicks off 5:30 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2. Qualifying, the last one of the season, kicks off 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central, ESPN2 all the way. For the race on Sunday, going to be over on Big ESPN. Race buildup will start 6:30 a.m. Eastern. The race itself kicks off 8 a.m. Eastern, so an hour earlier than your normal European times. There's also going to be the F1 Kids. We'll be doing their alternate broadcast I think they're, I know they've done it on Sky a couple times where they've had the kids with microphones doing play-by-play and stuff. So they'll be over on ESPNU if you wanted to catch that broadcast as well. But that's kind of when and where to find your F1 this weekend. So as we head into our final weekend of the season, Cody, any final thoughts?
As I said at the start, it's a little bit of a bittersweet feeling. You know, I've turned into quite the fan over the last bunch of years, and you know, makes me realize that all I'm going to have you know, until spring is football, which I'm not as big on. So a little sad to see it wrapping up. But you know, despite the fact that a lot of people have perhaps felt that maybe the season's been boring in some ways because of just how dominant Max has been, it's really historic in a lot of ways. You know, we haven't seen a season this dominant really ever. You know, some seasons come to mind, like some Michael Schumacher seasons where, you know, he podiumed every race of the season, or he won a ton of races in 2004. And to see those types of records be beaten, I think is something special that we might not see again for a while. So it's been really cool to see. You know, I tip my cap to Max Verstappen for making it happen, to Red Bull for, you know, giving him a car that's that dominant and that reliable. You know, this is a 22 race season, and he's, you know, knocking on wood, you know, hopefully he finishes Abu Dhabi. He's finished every one, and only one of them outside of the top two, which is really amazing. So it's been cool to see. I'm hoping that it gets finished up in just as dominant fashion, even if it's, you know, going to be expected to everyone.
I just hope it's not 20 seconds down the road. If he wins this weekend, fine, but I wouldn't mind him having to fight for it just that little bit. So I think that would actually be pretty cool to actually see some proper racing around the circuit. Yeah, I mean, you're clearly in the camp of greatness being great, and that is definitely something to watch for. We're probably going to have to look back. I think only time will kind of let you appreciate just how crazy good that guy was, or that guy is right now. Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of where I would kind of leave with Max. But I mean, we talked about, you know, McLaren being a redemption story, Mercedes coming and going, Ferrari figuring stuff out, Aston Martin figuring stuff out. I think I would kind of summarize the year as really a year of learning, a lot of year of learning, and a lot of year of trying to get better. And hopefully that means that, you know, these lessons that have been learned, and these teams will be able to come up with a, you know, totally, you know, amazing championship next year. That's the hope anyway. That's what I'm rooting for. But yeah, it's always bittersweet when we get kind of to the end and it's like, okay, oh my God, we finally got to the end. Yay. And then, oh, there's like nothing on the next weekend. I mean, MotoGP will have their championship, and that doesn't look like it's going to be, it looks like it's probably going to go one way versus the other one. And then we're kind of, that's kind of it. You know, everything kind of wraps up until you get to January, and then you flip the calendar over. Now, come January, there's a whole lot to look forward to. You know, you got your Toyota Racing Series, which is who's going to be your next one in Formula One. That's always something to look forward to. That looks like it's going to be a full proper championship again, with people flying back to New Zealand. You got the Daytona 24, which I want to see what all the crossover is. I know Jenson Button will be racing. There'll be all sorts of, you know, it looked like there were a couple other F1 drives that kind of fell through. I think Alex Albon had one, and I don't think they were able to quite pull it off. So that's always fun for that, and the sports car crowd and the crossover there. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully the offseason will not be nearly as long. Hopefully, you know, I mean, the football in this town is pretty much dead. so there's not a whole lot to really watch after that. But most of the locals teams are not doing all particularly well, at least in Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be missing my F1 for sure. But anyway, until Sunday, we will enjoy whatever we can get out of this weekend. And like I said, if you're in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, from our little odd F1 family to yours. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Hug the relatives you like. Hug the relatives you don't like, because you never know when you're not going to be able to do that anymore. So, again, just kind of a little PSA about Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Have great food. And we'll see you Sunday. or Monday, whenever we can actually hopefully all get together and do our review. We have to figure that out. We will do that. But until then, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.